Hey, what up, though? It's your boy, Reggie Watkins, and you are listening to I'm Probably Right. Rate us, review us, subscribe, comment, but please don't be hating. My man, Kevin Cleveland's running the show, engineering, producing, as always. And find us anywhere you find your podcast, right? We're on Apple, we're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we're on TuneIn, we're on Google Play. But the main home for I'm Probably Right is Believe Podcast Network. That's BLEAV.com. Make sure you find it. If you like the podcast, tell a friend. Today, we got amazing news, right? I mean, we're going to talk about the NFL draft. We're actually recording this right now as the draft is taking place because I'm a bonehead and I forgot that it was actually happening at 5 o'clock. We're going to talk about the NBA playoffs and the Miami Heat and the Bucks. But first up. So today is a good day for me. The name of this show is I'm Probably Right. Right? And, you know, I named it that because I could be wrong sometimes, right? We had a buddy Jay Lee on the show, probably the beginning of the show when we first started it. And he was like, I love the title, I'm Probably Right, because you're telling people that you most likely know what you're talking about, but you are willing to be wrong. Except when it comes to Lamar Jackson. I told y'all what was going to happen a year ago. We had to go through all the shenanigans of him sitting out games at the end of this year. We had to go through people talking about what kind of money he turned down and who he wasn't better than and how much more somebody else was getting paid. And he would never get this contract. He would never get that. He only won one playoff game. He don't deserve no money. He's not going to get generational wealth. He's only going to play on this franchise tag because don't nobody trust him to be a real quarterback in the NFL. And where you at now? Huh? Where all y'all at now? I hate to be the guy that says, I told you so, but I told you so. Lamar Jackson just signed a 5-year deal for $260 million, making him the highest paid player ever in the NFL. $185 million fully guaranteed, not the $180 that Jalen Hurts got with only, I believe, really like $112 being fully guaranteed. The other part of it is for injury. Lamar got $185 guaranteed up front because that dude stuck to his guns and held on to his leverage, which I've been telling you he had, but people didn't want to believe it. Lamar Jackson didn't need the Baltimore Ravens as much as the Ravens needed him. And why do they need him? Because they play in the NFL, a league that is ran by quarterbacks. And when you have one, you pay him. That's what you do. You pay him, especially a dude that you have never put pieces around so that he can actually show how great he was. He's just been great running a team that had no weapons besides Lamar Jackson. And so they finally did what they should have done last year. Hell, they should have done this 2 years ago. But my hypothesis is Lamar just didn't want what they were offering. And so he waited and waited and waited and did all this without an agent, where I had numerous people, friends of mine, calling the boy dumb, saying his mama was crazy for being his agent. Him, Lamar Jackson and his mama just worked out the highest contract in NFL history. What you got to say to that? Right? I'm so excited for this dude, man. And I don't even know this man. I'm just excited for what is to come for players. I'm excited for what is happening on the landscape of how people are going to work on these deals, because that changes the game for so many people. There will be now more top name and famous athletes in the NFL who will not have an agent. Lamar Jackson just signed a $260 million deal. Agent gets 3% of that, right? 3% of that. So 1% of 260 is what? 2.6? Multiply that by 3? That's $8.4 million that he is keeping in his family's name. And why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't anybody? Because when you become Lamar Jackson, when you are an MVP, when you are in a league that is desperately seeking MVPs, especially at the quarterback position, you own all the leverage. You don't need no damn agent. You don't need to negotiate. All you need to do is tell them what you want, when you want it, and how you want it, and they better do it, or they will be without an NFL MVP quarterback on their team. It's that simple. And it's been that way since the beginning of time. We had guys like Richard Sherman talking about it on his podcast. He didn't understand why quarterbacks weren't taking fully guaranteed deals after Kirk Cousins did it. I mean, it just makes sense. You guys have all the power. And it comes down to guys wanting to be cool with the owners and their agents wanting to be cool with the owners. But guess what? Lamar was like, nah, man, I don't got no agents, so ain't nobody got to be cool with y'all. Just give me my bread. And bread they gave him. And now I know what's going to happen. Everybody's going to try to move the needle now because I had dudes. And I'm not even talking about, you know, because it's always, I always talk about it. And sometimes there's a racial component to this thing. And of course there is. There's tons of white people out there that were like, oh, he's not, all he is a runner. He's a runner. He can't throw the ball. He's just an athlete. But there was black people too. Black people too. My own friends who I have to clown and talk to on a regular basis who just wouldn't give this dude an inch. And so now what's going to happen is people are going to put on him, how come he ain't won nothing now then? They gave him all this money. He better win a Super Bowl. I just want to ask them same people. Josh Allen signed a deal 2 years ago, right? I mean, made a lot of money, got paid, got the bag. How come we don't hear nobody on TV? How come we don't hear? I don't ever get any texts about Josh Allen not being worth his money. I've yet to see it. I can go through the list of my texts. I can go through the TV shows. I ain't heard nobody questioning Josh Allen for only winning two playoff games. Right? I haven't heard anybody questioning him. And now we gonna see. The Ravens gave Lamar the bag, which they should have done earlier, but it got done when it got done. They signed OBJ, so now he has a real receiver. And hell, I don't know what OBJ is gonna be. If OBJ is 80% of what OBJ was in his prime, unbelievable. The Ravens will be already the offense has jumped massively because now you got him and Rashad Bateman and Mark Andrews. Draft is happening right now. And I swear to God, if the Ravens find a way to get Bijan Robinson, cancel Christmas. Cancel Christmas. It's over. Okay? There is nothing you can do with that squad if they get a running back like Bijan Robinson to put in the back. Now, I know it's tough because they're the 22nd pick. Who knows if they can make a trade, get up there. But this is so dope for them, especially for the city of Baltimore, like that area, to finally have this dude locked up. They're showing, yo, we are about this man, and we're going to go forward and build with him. And I'm just excited, man. I'm so excited for that dude and excited about what's going to happen and to see where it's going to go. And they play the 49ers this year, right? The Ravens play the 49ers in San Jose at Levi. And guess who's going to be there? This guy. I'm going to be there so I can watch Lamar get beat by my 49ers because that's what we're going to have to do. But boy, is it going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting. And we got the NFL draft going on. There should be no, I'm going to look at it right now. There should be no surprise at who was the number one overall pick. It's got to be Bryce Young, okay? And hell, I've been talking about this for a while. The black quarterback revolution is upon us, right? I mean, this is the first draft where there was supposed to possibly be the first three quarterbacks. Hell, 1, 2, and possibly maybe number 1, 2, and 3 were going to be black quarterbacks. We've never even had two in a row. Hell, we've only had, how many number one overall pick? Michael Vick was the first one. Then there was Cam Newton and Kyler Murray. Three in the career of the NFL. Three black quarterbacks, number one overall. Black quarterback revolution is upon us. And when I talked about that, there were so many people that gave me backlash about it. And usually it's whenever I say something like that, big upping some black achievement in something, people are like, why does it matter? Because it does, man. What do you mean, why does it matter? So for us to really understand why it matters, you have to understand the history of the NFL and the black quarterback in football in general. I've talked about this before on this podcast. I wanted to play quarterback my whole life. And at every turn through Pop Warner up until I got to my eighth grade year of Pop Warner, somebody always made me play running back or receiver, and they made the white dude the quarterback. I was a better thrower than that dude, but I could also run. I was a better thrower than that dude, but I could also catch. So at every turn, and that's just a microcosm of what I went through. Think of it for the eternity of what has been in the NFL. Forever, it was thought that black quarterbacks did not have the smarts to run an NFL franchise. They didn't have the brain capacity to handle running a team. They weren't smart enough to make the plays from the pocket. They couldn't read defenses. Fast forward to now, we got three, maybe four dudes going in the first round. And I'm going to celebrate the hell out of that, man, because I know the history of what has been in this league. And it ain't going nowhere. It's only going to keep on going this route. I'm not saying you're not going to have no damn white quarterbacks. I mean, you got some dope-ass white quarterbacks in the league. Joe Burrow, Herbert, Allen, right? You got some dope dudes. But you're not going to be able to play in this league unless you can move. It's getting too fast. The defenses are getting smaller and faster. You've got to be able to move out of the pocket and make things happen. And if you can't do that, you cannot play in this NFL. So, yeah, there's going to be the athletic white dudes who are going to ball. But overwhelmingly, what we've seen is that the quarterbacks that are the most athletic have usually been the brothers. So I'm happy to see that now all of a sudden they're getting that shine. And right on schedule, as I was celebrating possibly having one, two, three black quarterbacks taking in a row, one, two, three, maybe one, two, four, some stories on Reddit and some GMs who just can't help themselves have started talking themselves into drafting Will Levis at number two, maybe with the Texans. And I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all because they just can't help themselves. They just can't help themselves. These dudes will wish cast their way into having a dude who has no business being there playing quarterback just because he looks the part. And yes, the Panthers took Bryce Young. Now we're going to see what the Texans do because they're talking. People have been saying it's Will Levis, and I just can't believe that, right? I watched that dude play. I watched a couple of games, and I ain't seeing it. I heard Mel Kiper Jr. on his draft shows talking about Will Levis. You know, don't look at the film this year. I mean, because that's all we have to go on. What do you mean, don't look at the film this year? Well, he was really banged up, and they didn't have a lot of talent around him. Guess where he's getting drafted? He goes number two to the Houston Texans. Guess why they're drafting number two? They ain't got no talent around him. If he couldn't lift up Kentucky in college, what the hell is he going to do with the Texans in the NFL? If he can't lift up college dudes to beat other college dudes, how do you expect him to do it in the pros? What are we talking about here? It's just mind-blowing whenever I see this stuff happen. Zach Wilson. I literally saw guys on ESPN and SportsCenter talking about this dude because they saw him on YouTube clips. YouTube clips. CJ Stroud has been dropping in this draft because, of course, he didn't pass some like smarts test, some SP2 or S2P, whatever, right? Some way they want to try to find a way to downgrade this dude so they can lift up this other cat, right? It's just unbelievable. I mean, you see it happen all the time. I mean, you can go back. I mean, I remember when Teddy Bridgewater was coming out in the draft. The best quarterback in that draft was Teddy Bridgewater. black dude who didn't really run, wasn't a runner. They dinged him for it. He's not really a good runner, you know? I mean, what are we going to do? Guess who went number one overall that year? Johnny Manziel. No, not number one overall. He was the first quarterback taken in that draft. Johnny Manziel. Little guy who scrambled a lot and had little hands, which were supposed to be a detriment to people, right? But for some reason, they said, no, you know, his little hands, but he's got this special grip on his tips that just makes the little hands not even a thing. We got to get this guy. Guys, the Texans, we will see what they do. Hopefully, they don't take Will Levis and they listen to, I mean, this is all you need to know. If almost every draft expert, everybody is saying that it's the black quarterbacks that are the top four and Will Levis is number five, if that's how we've been hearing it and for most of the entirety of this offseason, believe it. Because they wouldn't be pushing these four black dudes if there was one white dude they could jam up our throats. They would not. Hell, the same way I was telling people back when the vaccine was coming out. Yo, if they're giving the vaccine to white people, black folks, y'all ain't got nothing to worry about. Go get it. Okay? Go get it. All you need to do is watch what's happening and see what's being talked about. And even though Bryce Young is the number one pick, I think he's a dope quarterback. He's the most special quarterback I've seen in a long time just because of the way he plays. But the quarterback of this draft with the most upside is Anthony Richardson. I've been talking about him for a while. He walks into the NFL as already the most athletic quarterback in the NFL, which is what we're looking for every day. It's what they're looking for. Most athletic. I'm wondering who is going to take that guy, right? Because you got the Texans. Do the Texans take him and stash him away for a year or just play him right away? I mean, who knows? He's only played 13 games in the NFL. I mean, in college, right? Cardinals aren't taking a quarterback. The Colts. Are the Colts taking Anthony Richardson or Stroud? Or the Texans taking Stroud, which I think they should do, right? Unless they don't think, here's the thing. Unless you don't think any of these quarterbacks are your guy, then I understand taking something else. But sometimes you're just never going to be this high up again, right? You hope that you won't. Unless you think that you're just a trash organization and you're going to be picking up in the top, you know, on the regular, then yeah, maybe you take the best player available if you don't think it's the quarterback who's left for you or there. But if you're up in the top 10 and there's like a quarterback that you think is generational or you think is dope, you got to take that dude and just roll the dice and see what happens. I mean, hell, they're not even giving these guys that much money anymore. These guys are probably going to sign a four-year deal worth $30, $34 million. That's peanuts for your quarterback room, right? And I hate to say peanuts because that's part of the way that people think about these salaries now. It's just, oh, they can take this money. They can do this or that. That's a lot of damn money. But in relativity to the quarterback rooms, that's not a lot of money to be paying a guy who's going to be your starter $7-8 million a year. That's nothing to them, right? That's a bargain. So you just take one of these guys and hope it works out for the best. And if you miss on them, then you draft somebody again in 2 years, right? We also got to talk about Aaron Rodgers real quick. Aaron Rodgers finally got to the Jets. The Jets and the Packers swapped some picks. The Packers are now picking 13th. The Jets are picking 15th. They traded a second-round pick. One of the second-round picks becomes a first-round pick for the Packers if Aaron Rodgers plays 65% of the snaps, which you assume he is going to, so that should be a first-round pick, which will probably be in the 20s because even though they got Aaron Rodgers, oh, Texas took C.J. Stroud. Thank the Lord, all is right. We got two black quarterbacks that went 1-2. Oh, black quarterback revolution all the way. Black quarterback revolution is up the way. Now, what are the Cardinals going to do? Okay, I digress. Let me get back to the Jets. Okay. So, Aaron Rodgers. Guys, I watched him last year. And listen to me. I did the same thing with Russell Wilson. Okay? I had Russell Wilson on my fantasy squad his last year in Seattle. I watched all the games. He was not good anymore. I tried to tell the Denver Broncos, Trust me, I got people in Denver. I tried to call them and let them know, hey, yo, man, it ain't going to work out with this dude. They ain't want to listen. They ain't want to take my calls. I was calling, you know what I'm saying, Invesco Fieldhouse. I was calling them. Wasn't nobody trying to take my calls. I ain't got the Jets number. I ain't got Woody Johnson's phone number, so I can't really get at him. But if anybody would have listened to me, I'm telling you, Aaron Rodgers ain't it no more. You are buying a name. And now it turns out they're going to have to pay this dude $100 million after they restructured his deal because he's supposed to get $60 million this year. So they restructured it. And now they got a little hook with him for, I think, the next 3 years. The dude is about to be 40. And, y'all, we got to stop thinking that everybody is an outlier. Aaron Rodgers did not look good last year. He just didn't. It's the facts of it. It's the worst output he's had possibly in his whole career that he played like a whole season. You watch those games. They lost to the Detroit Lions in Green Bay at the end of the year for a chance to go to the playoffs. And why didn't it happen? Because Aaron Rodgers couldn't get it done. That's the fact of it. So now you're going to put him, and I get it for the Jets fans. Yo, you guys are excited. You finally got a quarterback. And the reason you're excited is because you had the trash that is Zach Wilson playing quarterback last year. So now it looks like anybody that can chew gum and walk at the same time is phenomenal, right? I've seen it happen with the Niners. My Niners, we had Jimmy Garoppolo. He was so terrible that Brock Purdy came in and looked that much, a little bit better. We thought he was next coming to Joe Montana. And yes, people were calling that man the next Joe Montana. Jets, it's nice y'all got a quarterback. And people are trying to talk about what their expectations should be. Well, hell, when you traded all that and you're given all this type of money, you should hope that that team is going to make the Super Bowl. But I'm here to tell you, they will not. They're not even the best team in that division. It's still the Bills, right? Hell, the Dolphins, if they have a healthy Tua, knock on wood, hopefully he don't hit his head again. The Dolphins might be better than the Jets. I mean, you've got it. What Jets fans and what people are hoping is that that defense stays the same. But when do we ever see that? Besides like the 49ers, like when do you see a defense that was dope 1 year stay dope the next year? The turnovers are design of luck most of the time. You're not going to get those same turnovers. You're not going to get that same health, right? And so now you're banking on getting the exact same output from that defense and Aaron Rodgers being better than he was a year ago now that he's a year older. What am I missing here? What am I missing? So I hate to rain in your parade, Jets fans, but y'all just another possible playoff team. I mean, y'all might be, I can see 10, 11 wins for them. I can see them making the playoffs. They ain't going to the Super Bowl. I mean, the AFC is stacked. We already know this. The Chiefs, the Bills, the Bengals, the Ravens now with bringing back Lamar and OBJ, and that defense was amazing the second half of the season. They're going to be dope. The Browns looked bad last year. Why? Because their quarterback didn't get to practice or be with the team for over half the season. That dude is going to get a full offseason with this team that is loaded. They're going to be good. There's so much. Oh, my God. The AFC is a killer. It's about to be a killer. So, yo, hey, cheers, you know, Jets fans. Y'all got a quarterback, but y'all ain't winning nothing. And so now the Anthony Richardson watch starts. And do the Colts do it? Or do they go with the guy who looks like he could have been on the Hoosiers? We'll see. Be back after the break. So the NBA playoffs are not disappointing. Oh, we've got just... Dude, I've been so wrong about... I mean, I haven't been wrong about the Lakers, although we are facing a game 6 in LA. And, oh, man, they squandered the AD game. AD has been so up and down these playoffs. I mean, it's only been, what, 5 games. But he's played good every other game. And last game, he played good and they lost because LeBron just looked like he was, you know, Father Time was on his ass. So now they're back here in LA on Friday and they've got to be able to pull this out. But it's been such a fascinating playoffs. Like, we've had the, you know, the villains. What is it? Dylan Brooks was the villain, and he's turned into the church mouse because he ain't talking. And dude, you watch these games, they're not even guarding that dude. He is out there. He is building a brick house every game he plays. And hell, at the end of that game, they put in Luke Kennard for Dylan Brooks. And man, and at the end of the game, I seen Luke Kennard with a damn shoulder wrap on and some ice. Looked like he was icing up his left shoulder. Don't look good for them. Hopefully the Lakers can pull this out. They got to pull it out because the team they're going to be playing, Sacramento and the Warriors play the same night, right? And the Lakers squandered a chance to have a couple of days of rest to get them old. Yo, when you got Anthony Davis, who is always up and down and usually and sometimes hurt, and you got Methuselah, a.k.a. LeBron James, on your squad, you need every rest day you can get. So for them to lose that game was huge. And now they got to win this game six. And Lord, don't lose this game six, because then you got to play, I think it's Sunday, they play game seven, and then they're going to start that series with the Warriors on a Tuesday, right? Hell, they win this game on Friday. If the Warriors close out on Friday, which is at Oracle, which they probably will close out, that series starts on Sunday. There is no rest. And they got to go up to Golden State, right? It's just they're going to be on planes, flying around. Just so much. But the playoffs have been fantastic. And last night we had the Miami Heat and Jimmy Get Buckets took out Giannis and the Bucks. And man, I mean, it was a great night of basketball. I'm watching that. And we're watching Golden State Sacramento, which was also a great game. I mean, the NBA has got these scheduled around the same time, and the Bucks went to overtime. So I'm trying to watch the Bucks. Me and my wife, we're trying to watch the Bucks. We're trying to watch Golden State. We're like going back and forth, and it's insane. But Jimmy, man, I've long been said it. That dude he's one of my top five players. I'm sorry, right? Top five players currently, not all time. But that dude just gets buckets. If I had to take one guy, if I gotta take one guy to win a playoff game, of course I'm going with, you know, Bron, right? But man, Jimmy Butler just elevates his game like none other in the playoffs, and it's just fascinating to watch. The dudes, he was talking trash to Drew Holiday. I loved every second of it, man. He was showing him the scoreboard, showing his stats, man, and he hit a shot, and he would stare back at him, and dog, that is playoff basketball at its best. And nobody was swinging on nobody. Nobody was like trying to fight. It's just, yo, I'm better than you. You can't guard me. Let's do it. And then we can be friends afterwards. But as long as you know, I busted your ass. And as I'm watching that game, I'm talking to my wife and I'm like, yo, the Bucks have no business winning this game. They don't deserve to win this game. There were so many mistakes. Why they kept going to Giannis down the stretch was just unbelievable. Oh, and by the way, the Colts just took Anthony Richardson. So that is three black quarterbacks who went 1-2-4 in the NFL draft. Never seen before. Hell, we haven't seen two before in a row. But we got three black quarterbacks at the top of this draft. Oh, black quarterback revolution is here. But back to the Bucks. They squandered this game. Why they were running the offense through Giannis when Giannis was shooting terribly from the free throw line. Hell, the Heat were just fouling him. He was going to the free throw line going 1-for-1. I mean, 1-for-2. He was 50%. He was less than 50% last night. Why they weren't running through Middleton, I will never understand. Why they weren't blitzing Jimmy Butler, I don't understand. Why they didn't have Robin Lopez in to guard the rim at the last second before Jimmy Butler got to make that crazy tip-in after he offensive fouled and pushed off on Connaughton. Why did they have 0.5 seconds and two timeouts and didn't use them? They won a Super Bowl. I mean, they won an NBA championship two seasons ago. Last year, didn't get it done. Middleton got hurt. They got bounced, I believe, in the first round by the Celtics. Took them seven games, right? Or no, I think it was the second round. I think it was second round. Or the Eastern Conference Finals. It was the Eastern Conference Finals. This year, number one seed all the way through, losing the first round. Budenholzer might have to go. Right. Before he won this championship, people were already questioning what kind of coach he was going to be, how he's going to handle this. Last night was egregious. This whole series was egregious. They shouldn't have even lost game four up in Miami. They were up by like 16 points in the fourth quarter. No timeouts called, no nothing. Like, what? I don't understand what this dude was doing. These are fireable offenses as a coach. Like, literally fireable offenses. That last night's game, I couldn't even believe what I'm watching. I'm like, oh my God, this is terrible. They've got to do something here. And who knows what this team is going to be. I mean, they got Middleton, but Drew Holiday's on the last year of his contract. You got a bunch of other dudes, Jay Crowder, Portis, all these guys who are coming up on the end of their deals, Ingles, right? What are they going to do? How are they going to make this team? Are they going to re-sign all these guys, give them all money? They're going to have to change some things up here. And if you're going to change up the roster, you might as well change up the coach. Hell, they should have just waited and hired Ime Udoka. And now he's going to Houston, which now becomes my second favorite team because he got done dirty, and I'm happy to see him land somewhere, and hopefully he'll get to Houston and really shake them boys up and get them, because they got a bunch of talent over there. Knicks took out the Cavs, and yo, I've been saying this about Donovan Mitchell. I've had arguments with friends and other people, right? Donovan Mitchell is a very nice guard. You can find a Donovan Mitchell every draft. Every draft. You can find a small guard who needs to take a lot of shots to get points and plays no defense. I've argued with friends about Lonzo. I'm a Lonzo fan, right? And I feel bad the dude's knees is messed up. He might not be able to play no more. But people always ask me, man, Donovan Mitchell's way better than Lonzo. How do you know? Like, what are they giving? What is he giving that is so above replacement? Like, what do you think would have been better for the Cavs this year on this team? Donovan Mitchell at 6'3", who guards nobody and takes a lot of shots and gets you some points, but also shoots you out of a game? Or a 6'7 guard who shoots when it's there for him, is not all about his offense, but it's all about defense and facilitating the ball. I think Lonzo on that team has them beat the Knicks, because the Cavs have two Donovan Mitchells. The other guy's name is Darius Garland. They've got two small guards who play no defense and shoot a lot. They needed something else. They needed a bigger wing defender, a guy who could knock down some threes, a guy that could be a playmaker for them. And they don't have that. So, nice in the regular season. Nice player. Never will be a winning dude as your number one guy. It's just not going to happen. Just not going to happen. So, I'm excited for these matchups. Now we're going to get the Knicks and the Heat, and woo, that's going to be, man, it's the 90s all over again, right? That's what y'all wanted, right? Although this is going to be even better than the 90s because the players are better. We got more talent, and the Knicks can mess around and win that series, but the Heat could too, but it don't matter because the Celtics are the best team in the East now. They're coming out of the East, and you know what I'm sticking with? They're going to play my Lakers, baby. LeBron and AD, they're going to get it right. And we gonna be in the finals, and we gonna have Celtics Lakers finals, baby. It's back. Yes. Yes. But y'all, you've been listening to I'm Probably Right. My name is Reggie Watkins. Rate us, review us, subscribe, comment. Please don't be hating. My man Kevin Cleveland's running the show, engineering, producing. Thank you so much, brother. Yo, if you like the podcast, tell a friend, send it on out there. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.